Parshas Vayeshev. Of course, the main story that dominates this week's parsha is the Mechiras Yosef, and it comes to a climax really in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, where it says Vayikhu es Kesenes Yosef, and they took the cloak of Yosef, Vayishchatu Seir Izim, and they slaughtered a goat, Vayitbelu es Hakutenes Badom, and they dipped the coat, the cloak, in blood. They then sent off this cloak, which had now been dipped in blood. They sent it off to Yaakov Avinu, and they say, listen, this is what we found, and unfortunately a terrible tragedy has befallen Yosef. He must have been killed. That is the story. Really, what I'd like to share with you tonight is pretty much in its entirety a piece that I saw in the Sefer Matnas Chaim. Matnas Chaim is written by Matisyahu Salomon Shlita, the Mashkiach now in Lakewood Yeshiva. When I was in Gateshead Yeshiva, he was a Mashkiach there. He's now the Mashkiach in Lakewood. He has a Sefer called Matnas Chaim. He has a number of Sfarim. One of his volumes are on the Moyadim, on the various Yomim Tevim. And he has, I think, a most remarkable piece, really a most remarkable piece in his Chelek on Pesach. And that's really what I'd like to share with you tonight. And he begins by quoting what I think is a very famous Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim, in his Sefer Shmiras HaLoshon, says that we're all well aware that at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, Klal Yisrael were quite clearly learning Torah and being Mekayim Mitzvahs. That's not why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, for any lack of Torah or mitzvahs. Rather, as Chazal tell us, it was all about the chet of sinas chinom, and specifically Loshon Hara. That's why the Beis HaMikdash got destroyed. Says the Chofetz Chaim, it's obvious, therefore, that if that was the Aveira that he initially brought about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, then obviously the construction of the Beis HaMikdash cannot occur as long as those Averas are still in existence. And in fact, we know that Chazal tell us that any generation in which the Beis HaMikdash was not rebuilt, that is basically tantamount to having the Beis HaMikdash destroyed. And the reason is because it's the same source. If the Avera of Sechinas Chinam, if only Sechinas Chinam would be banished once and for all, then the Beis HaMikdash would clearly be rebuilt, because that was the problem that brought about the destruction in the first place. Dvarim Yiduim. The Chofetz Chaim therefore says, in summary, that imagine a huge campaign was made to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Imagine the only thing you needed was money. So you turn on your computer and you'd be bombarded by matching campaigns, charity. We're now trying to do a build the Beis HaMikdash in 36 hours. A very generous donor or donors will quadruple your donation. All we need to reach is $1,000 billion, and we'll reach that. We have no question in our mind that we'll reach that in half an hour. Everybody, you sell the shirt off your back to build the Beis HaMikdash. Who wouldn't do that? And yet, as the Chofetz Chaim writes, actually money is not needed. Not a penny needs to be raised for the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. Chazal tell us that the third Beis HaMikdash will just, as it were, fall from heaven. So no money needs to be raised, no effort needs to be put in the actual construction. The only thing is, we need to abolish the Avera of Sinas Chinam. And it seems to be that if the Beis HaMikdash hasn't yet been rebuilt, that apparently is a task that's all too difficult for us and hasn't yet been managed to be achieved, the abolishment of the Aveira of Sinas Chinam. But ultimately, that's our task in Golos. Not to raise funds for the Beis HaMikdash, it's to get rid of the Aveira which brought about the Churban in the first place, and that is Sinas Chinam. So in his Sefer, Matisyahu Solomon asks the most fascinating question. Very, very intriguing question. We sit at the Seder night, and as we know, from the beginning to the end of the Seder night, every aspect is laden with meaning. from the smallest to the biggest part of the Seder, everything is either a mitzvah, or it's not an absolute mitzvah, deraisa, derabbanon, it's not a derabbanon, it's a minig, and everything has meaning and symbolism. So we begin the Seder and we say, right from the outset, we announce, Hoshata Hocha, Lashona Habor, Birushalayim. That's the first thing we say. In fact, we say that in Holach Ma'anyo, even before we begin Magid, right? We say Holach Ma'anyo, and only then we pour the kais and we begin Ma'anishtana. So this is not just the first piece, it's actually the introduction to the whole Seder night, and we declare that we only hope that next year will be in Yerushalayim. Now, 1 second. We know quite clearly, as the Chofetz Chaim has just taught us, that merely to hope that we'll be in Yerushalayim doesn't suffice. We have to now convert our words into actions. Meaning, if Sinas Chinom brought about the Churban Beis HaMikdash, then it's going to be the opposite, Avas Chinom, if such a thing exists, that's going to bring about the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. So he asks Ramat Yisrael, wouldn't it have been appropriate, therefore, somewhere in the Leil HaSeder to make mention of this? If we begin the whole Leil HaSeder with this tefillah, to HaKadosh Baruch, we only hope the Beis HaMikdash will rebuild, wouldn't it have been appropriate to then finish off that sentence, which would be to say, we hope the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. How so? By working on this Aveira of Sinas Chinom. That would have a very central place in the Leil HaSeder. And the answer, says Ramat Yisrael, is that indeed we do. There is a very central part of the Seder night which absolutely and specifically relates to this very point. Listen to this most fascinating Ben Ish Chai. I found it afterwards in the Sefer Maaseh Hashem as well. The Ben Ish Chai says the most phenomenal thing. On the Seder night, we dip twice. Now, dipping twice is a very central part of the Seder night. It's so central that it becomes one of the questions in the Ma'anishtano. Ma'anishtano alayim azeh. On ordinary nights, we do not dip. And when it comes to Seder night, we dip not just once, but we dip twice. Karpas in the salt water, moror in the charesis. Says the Ben Ish Chai the most phenomenal thing. Do you know why we dip twice? Because how did Golus Mitzrayim all begin? It began with a dipping. The posuk that we began before, Vayitbulu es hakutoynas badam, they dipped the cloak in blood. And what did that precipitate? That was really the beginning of the end. Because then Yosef was ultimately thrown into the boir, and then he was taken out of the boir, and then he was sold into Mitzrayim, and then the brothers came down to Mitzrayim, and that was Golus Mitzrayim. So all of Golus began with a tevila, a dipping. That's how Golus began. And how did Golus end? When they came out of Mitzrayim, what does it say? V'lakachtem agudas eizoiv. You should take a Agudas, a bundle of Ezoiv, utevaltem badam. Dip it in the dam. Which dam? Of the Korban Pesach. That's how Geula came about. Says the Ben Ish Chai, Golus Mitzrayim and Geulas Mitzrayim began and ended with a dipping. The brothers dipped the coat in the blood. Klal Yisrael dipped the Ezoiv, the Agudas Ezoiv in the blood. Those are the two dippings of Seder night. Incredible. Says Ramat Yisrael, this is the explanation. He says, Mamash Yisoide Hadas, and he explains. We all knew. Avraham Avinu knew, Yitzchak Avinu knew, Yaakov Avinu knew. It was no secret that Klal Yisrael were going to be exiled. Why was it no secret? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham. He told him quite clearly in the Bris Bein Hapsorim that Klal Yisrael are going to be exiled, Ger Yir Zaracho Be'eretz Lo Elohem, in a foreign land. Now what is absolutely missing in that pasuk? It doesn't say which land. It says Be'eretz Lo Elohem, in a foreign land. Fine, so it could be they will be taken out of Eretz Yisrael and put elsewhere. No, maybe not the end of the world. So why Mitzrayim? Why such a severe galus? That wasn't necessarily, as it were, part of the Gezeirah. That's an Oynish. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, do you know why they deserve such a severe galus? As an Oynish for the sinas chinom between the brothers versus Yosef. So it's not just that chronologically one event ended up in the other. That they sold the brother, they sold Yosef, and the boy, and then the tribe. No. One is a punishment for the other. Because of this sin aschinom, this baseless hatred towards Yosef, that's why Mitzrayim turned out to be the place of the Golus, and not just a geographical place, it turned out to be the place of a bitter and severe torturous Golus. Therefore, listen to this. If sin aschinom is what brought about the Golus, and it was all there in that dipping, so what's the opposite of sin aschinom? And Klal Yisrael are brought together in Achdus. Let's read that pasuk once again. When they came out of Mitzrayim, what was the second dipping? V'lakachtem, it says, agudas ezoy. What's an aguda? Aguda is a bundle when you bring separate things together. Ah, you've now undone the reason that brought about the galus. The whole galus was brought about because of sinas chinam, disunity. So how is Geula brought about? By the opposite type of dipping. Agudas Ezoi and Igud bring Klal Yisrael back together. There should be a unity. There should be Av of Achva Bein Klal Yisrael. And that will rectify the Sinas Chinom that brought about Golos Mitzrayim in the first place. And therefore, when we ask the question, shouldn't there be a mention somewhere in Seder night of what got us into Golos? And how we will eventually get out of Golos? And the answer is, of course there should be, and indeed there is. Those are the two tevilas. The tevila of Vayitvelu es hakoteinas badam, the sinas chinom that got us into Golos in the first place, and then the opposite way around, Volokachtem es agudas ezoi. That's how they left Mitzrayim when they came back together, ba'achtus. Oh, there's no longer sinas chinom. That's the second dipping. Now indeed you can daven Lashon HaHabo b'Yerushalayim. Now listen to this. The Ohr Sameach, the Meshech Chochmah, has the most, again, phenomenal observation. Kedarkei v'Kodesh, and this is all brought there in his Sefer by Rav Matthias Solomon. We know that we have various terminologies for Klal Yisrael. Normally we're called Klal Yisrael, Yisrael, or Bnei Yisrael, or Klal Yisrael. On Yom Kippur, there is a very strange and unique turn of phrase. Right. Shivtei Yeshurun. We say in Yom Kippur, Ki ato, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you, Solchon Li Yisrael. What does that mean, Solchon? From the word Selech. You forgive Yisrael. That's a normal term. Umachalon L'Shivtei Yeshurun B'chol Deir. And you are Moichel the Shvotim. Now, it's true, we do ultimately emanate from Shvatim. But why all of a sudden on Yom Kippur are we referred to as the Shivtei Yeshurun? More so, there is a bit of a tautology over here. Ki ato solchon li Yisrael, you forgive Klal Yisrael, u'mochalon, and you forgive Klal Yisrael. You forgive them twice? It's already said that. Ki ato solchon li Yisrael. And again, Umochalon l'shivte Yeshurun. What does that mean? It's a very, very rare turn of phrase that Klal Yisrael should be referred to as the Shivte Yeshurun. What's going on over here? So the Meshech Chochma says the most incredible thing. He says, we all know that until this very day, we are suffering for the Chet Ha'ego. The Gemara says that all of our sorrows today, there is in it a part punishment for the Chet HaEgel. We're still suffering today for the Chet HaEgel. That's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says. Says the Meshech Chochma, one moment. Which Aveda was the Chet HaEgel? That was Aveda Zara. That was the ultimate Bein Odom Lemokrim. Which means that whenever there's Aveiras, even now, Tovshin Pei, Bein Odom Lemokrim, and we need to be punished, part of that punishment will be because of the ego, because that was the shayrish, that was the source of the Avera today as well. Says the Meshech Chochma, however, what about Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi? What about Averas which are not Bein Adam L'Mokim? Sinas Chinam, for example. That cannot be traced all the way back to the Chet HaEgo. Thank you, Shreyach. That cannot be traced to the ego because the ego has nothing to do with Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi. Says Ayis Sameach, what was the source of all Averas and all Chatoim Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi? The Mechiras Yosef. Says the Meshech Chochma, we are suffering because of that as well until our very day. And we get punished for it until this very day. Because Sinas Chinam is still with us. So the Sheirish of all Bein Adam L'Mokim is the ego. We get punished for that when we are over Aveiros Bein Adam L'Mokim. The shayrus of all Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi is that initial sinas chinam of the Mechiras Yosef, which apparently is still with us, because the Beis Hamikdash hasn't been rebuilt, and therefore we're still suffering it until this very, very day. Therefore, on Yom Kippur, when we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for an atonement, what do we need to be atoned for? Both Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi and Bein Adam L'Mokim. In which case, for example, the Meshech Chochma explains, that's why, where did the Kohen Gadol, once a year, where did he enter? On Yom Kippur, Lifnai V'Lifnim, in the innermost chamber in the Kodesh Kodshim. Does anybody know the Kodesh Kodshim? Whose shevet was that? The Chazal tell us the most fascinating thing. The Beis Hamikdash was along the border between Yehuda and Binyamin. The Kodesh Kodshim was in the Chelek of Binyamin because Binyamin is the one brother who was never involved in Mechiras Yosef. And if on Yom Kippur you're asking for a Mechila not only on Bein Adam L'Mokim but also Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi, the source of which is the Mechiras Yosef, and you have to enter Chelek Binyamin because he had no part to play in the Mechiras Yosef. And what's again unique to Yom Kippur, a korban that you don't find the whole year, the Sa'ir La'azazel. They took a goat, and as we know, they threw him over the cliff. It says there they attached to him a expensive loshein, a garment to his horns, and the Gemara says, do you know how much that cost? For a Gemara and Yuma, Shtei Slotim, two Slotim, says the Meshech Chochma, that's remarkable. Because there's one other place where we find Shtei Slotim. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos that Yaakov Avinu, when he brought that coat for Yosef HaTzadik, how much that coat cost? Shtei Slotim. The Shtei Slotim that brought about the coat and the Sinas Chinam needs to be atoned for on Yom Kippur with the Sa'ir La'azazel, the Loshen costing Shtei Slotim. There's the Yair Sameach. Now we understand what we say in Yom Kippur. Ki ata solchon le'Yisrael. There's part one and there's part two. What's part one? You atone for Klal Yisrael. Which Averas is that referring to? Bein Adam L'Mokim. Because what does it say after the ego? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Solachti Kidvarecho. Solachti Ki Atos Solchon Yisrael. 1 second, that's only half. What about the Averas Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi? Where does that come from? The Mechiras Yosef. And who perpetrated the Averas of Mechiras Yosef? The Shvatim. Therefore we say as well, U'mochalon l'shivte yeshurun b'chol dar. Therefore not only are you seileach Klal Yisrael as a unit for Bein Adam L'Mokim, but you're moichal l'shivte yeshurun. It was the Shvatim, it was the 12 brothers that initially brought about the whole Mechiras Yosef through the Avera of Sinas Chinam, which is with us until this very day, all Averas Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi. The most incredible piece in the Meshech Chochma, and that's the double part of the Tefillah on Yom Kippur. At a solchon l'Yisrael, Bein Adam L'Mokim, u'mochon on l'shivtei Yeshurun. Why do we mention the Shvatim? Because it was the Shvatim who sold Yosef. Now, if you thought that was amazing, listen to the following. Again, this is all quoted by Rav Matisyahu in his sefer. He quotes Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. And Rabbi Chanan Wasserman said a mind-blowing thing. Absolutely mind-blowing. Rabbi Chanan says, one of the tragic chapters in Klal Yisrael's history, which we've seen repeated over and over and again, is the bizarre episode of the blood libel. It always rears its ugly head over the course of the Doiris. The blood libel. So the Chanan says, one moment, there is something very puzzling, besides the tragic, but there's something very puzzling about the blood libel. The blood libel, as we all know, is completely sheker, has no basis, but it has zero basis. And we know that when something has no basis, it cannot last. There is no halacha whatsoever that even hints to presenting a basis for the blood libel. What? You've slaughtered some Christian baby because you need blood in matzahs. There is no halacha which is even similar to that that says you have to have blood in your matzahs. It's also to eat blood as well. If there, for example, I don't know, would be halacha to dip your matzahs in wine. So then you can be excused, I guess, for thinking I'm wine and in blood, and that would be the basis, albeit erroneous, but that would be the basis for the blood libel. But there is no basis. That you can't dip in. Right, so therefore, there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason whatsoever for this blood libel. It recurs and has recurred over and over again throughout our painful history. Says Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, the most incredible thing. He says, I have no doubt, therefore, whatsoever, Alfei Shona, for thousands of years we've been suffering for it. He says, this is a pillar of Hashkocha. What's pshat? What's going on? The Dova Borur Hu. He says, it's clear to me. Ki bevadai ha'oinesh hazeh al klal Yisrael is midah keneged midah. It's true, it doesn't make sense. This is clearly divinely orchestrated midah keneged midah. For doing what? So he says, v'lulei she'eini kedai. Most incredible thing, he says, if I may humbly suggest, it's the keneged v'yitbelu es hakutoines badam. The brothers dipped Yosef's coat in blood. Midah keneged midah, that's the blood libel. You dip the coat in blood, so you're being accused of dipping your matzahs in blood. That's what Rav Chanan writes. The most incredible thing. Now one second, let's pause for a moment. How are we to understand Rav Chanan's piece? Midah keneged midah. They dipped Yosef's coats in blood, therefore we're being accused of dipping our matzahs in blood. One second. The Avera of Vayitzvelu es hakutoines badam happened 2,000 years ago. Why are we being punished for that till today? The answer is the Meshech Chochma we just quoted. Because that is the source of all Sinas Chinom until this very day. It's not history, it's current events. And Sinas Chinom is clearly still with us, as the Chofetz Chaim explained, because if it wouldn't be, then we'd have the Beis HaMikdash already. So if Sinas Chinom is still prevalent, and the source of that is in Mechiras Yosef, that it only makes sense that we should still be punished for Mechiras Yosef. And that's why in Kippur we have to have a kapara for it.
A quick question. The dipping of blood took place before the building of the first and second temple. So how were we ever allowed to build the temple in the first place if we were still suffering from that sin of dipping the blood?
Good Shaila. Yeah, good Shaila. Fair question. How could there ever be a construction in the first place? And if there was, why can't we have a construction to be something Dutch? Fair point, fair point. So it could be the Enachanami. Maybe at that particular tkufa, indeed, there was not Sinas Chinam. But in as much as it rears its ugly head again, once again in the Golos, it can be traced back to the Mechiras Yosef. But over here, the Meshech Chochma is the key. Because if not for the Meshech Chochma, then we don't understand really what Rabbi Chanan means. What does Rabbi Chanan mean that the blood libel is a punishment for the Mechiras Yosef? So let the Shrotim suffer. What's that got to do with me? Today, in Tavshi and Pei. The answer is apparently it has everything to do with me. because the Beis HaMikdash is not constructed and Simas Chinam is still here. And if Simas Chinam is still here, then it means that the Sheirish Mechiris Yosef is still here. So let's just, as Rabbi Chanan, as Rabbi Matzis, you're right there in conclusion, add one more point and with this we'll finish. When does the blood libel always crop up? Just before the Yom Tov of Pesach. Why Pesach? So Rabbi Tzior writes there. Do we know what the Ramah says? Shulchan Aruch brings down, the Ramah quotes, that there is a minag in some places on the Seder night to eat an egg. The Ashkenazim have this minag. The Sfaradim also have this minag?
We've adopted it.
You've adopted it. We'll give it to you. Fine. There is a minag, prevalent minag in Klal Yisrael, to eat eggs on Seder night. Why? So the Ramah says, Zecha la'avilus. Why on earth are we commemorating Avelus on the Seder night? The whole meaning of Pesach is the exact opposite. It's celebration, Geula. So the Ramah adds, he says, the nearly, he suggests, the nearly Hatam, because as we know, the Medrash tells us that whichever the day Pesach falls out on, Tisha B'Av that year will fall out on the same day. So if the first day of Pesach is in Shabbos, like it was last year, then Tisha B'Av that year will also be Shabbos. So you see that apparently there must be a connection between Tisha B'Av and Pesach. What does that mean? That's the way that happens to be. Coincidentally, the calendar works out. What does that mean? What does that mean? There's some obviously deep-rooted connection between Tisha B'Av and Pesach. And the answer is, of course there is. And that's what we said before. Because we're back in Golos. And as much as we're celebrating Geulas Mitzrayim, but we're of course cognizant of the fact that we're backing Golos, we know there'll be a Geula, and that's how we daven. Hoshaat Ha'ocha, Lashon Ha'ba B'Yerushalayim, but ultimately we're backing Golos. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're celebrating the Geula, but we're in Golos again and we want the Geula again. And if we want the Geula again, then it clearly doesn't help just to want. Because you cannot be preaching one thing and practicing something else. I really want the Beis HaMikdash. Do you really want the Beis HaMikdash? The Chofetz Chaim. Chazal taught us the key. Work on Simas Chinam. And if you're not, and that's why the Beis HaMikdash is not yet built, then Pa'olcha Soisa Es Dvorecha, as the Chofetz Chaim writes. Your acts contradict your words. You're just paying lip service. You know, somebody once came to the Chofetz Chaim, and the Chofetz Chaim said to him, tell me, are you a truthful person or are you a liar? I said, we didn't know what the question was. As far as I'm concerned, as far as I know, I'm an honest person. He says, really, really honest? Everything you say, as far as I, he didn't know what the Chofetz Chaim wanted from him. He says, well, every Shabbos morning, do you know, you daven, you say Kedusha, and you say, I really hope that the Simrei Chaleinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should once again reign over us, ki Mechakim anachnu loch, because we are waiting. So the Chofetz Chaim asked him, are you? Poignant question. Are you really waiting? You say that every Shabbos morning. You come to the Rebbe Ezra, ki mechakim, I'm waiting, where are you? Are you an honest person? You just paying me lip service. In other words, if mechakim anachnu loch, if our tefillah of Lashon Ha'aba B'Yerushalayim means that what? I genuinely want the Beis HaMikdash, then clearly I have to work on that Aveira that brought about the destruction in the first place. Because if not, I realize, Pesach is today, that's the same day as Tisha B'Av is Chal. It's not a coincidence. If we still have a Tisha B'Av, it means I haven't learned the lesson of the double dipping. First dipping was Vayitvulu es hakatenes badam, but what about the second one? Lakachem agudas ezo, bring it all back together. Utvalten, and then once again you have a double dipping. And if I haven't learned that message, now I understand why I still have a Tisha B'Av. That's why I have a Tisha B'Av. It's not just a mathematical coincidence that Tisha B'Av ends up on the same day as Pesach, so therefore we have eggs, Zeichala Avelus. No. And that therefore is what we're really commemorating. That was to bring it all together. And this is the lesson that we're being taught. The Vayit Veloes Akutrenes Badam is, as you said, Rabbi David, is really where this whole Mitzrayim saga begins. That Sinas Chinom that began with that first dipping, But it can be rectified by the second dipping, and that is the Avuda Seizo, bring it back together. The Mechiras Yosei, that first dipping which brought Sinas Chinam, as it were, into the world, which is still with us, says the Aristomeach, and that's why we need to constantly ask for a kapara for it. U'mochalon l'shifte yishurun, and says u'mochalon vasman, and if we haven't, that's why we have the blood libel. We dipped his coat, Yosef HaTzadik's coat, in dam. So mido keneged mido, we're accused of dipping something else in dam, our matzahs. It's baseless. It makes no sense al pi derech hateva, because there is no basis for it. The answer is, it's not al pi derech hateva. It's the hashkocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the bitter reminder that apparently the sinas chinam is still with us. That first vayitz b'lues akutenes badam hasn't really been eradicated. It'll only be eradicated when we get to the second dipping. The second tvila v'lokachtem is aguda seizei. We bring back the aguda, all of Klal Yisrael back together. V'tevaltem, once again, we'll make a second dipping. Then, and only then, will sinas chinam have been banished, eradicated forever, and then we can truly daven that although Hoshah Tahoch, at the moment we're over here, but Shona Habo, Yerushalayim. May Be'ez Hashem be, Ne'er of Yomeinu Amen.
Amen.